Hi, my name's Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to take a look at how to handle events between master and content pages. We'll start by creating a sample website. And in this website, what we're going to do first off is create a simple master page and then associate it with this default ASPX page that comes in the project template. So let me add a master page to our project or website. And we'll just leave the default name of master page. Now we go back over to our default ASPX, and we need to alter this page so it's associated with the master page. And the first thing we need to do is to set the master page file attribute in the page directive. And let's just select master page, which we just created. Now, because this is now a content page rather than a standalone default ASPX page, we need to get rid of this HTML and we need to put a content tag in here. Let's just call this page content. Add the run at attribute server, and then we need to select the content placeholder ID to associate it with a content placeholder control in the master page, and we will select content placeholder 1, which is the default name on our master page. So now we're all set with our default ASPX being associated with our master page. Go back over to our master page now and just add a little bit of structure here so it's a bit more realistic and it'll put the sample that we're going to create in a bit of context. So what I'd like to do is to create three areas on the page. The first will be a div at the top, and that will be our header area. And let me just add a little style to this directly. And we'll make this 50 pixels high. And in this, for the moment, I'll just put the word header. We have the second div, which is our content with our content placeholder. And then we'll put a small footer div at the bottom. And let me put another style attribute in here to fix the height of our footer div, and we'll put this at 20 pixels. Let's take a quick look at this in design mode to see that it has the structure we want. That looks good. Back over to default ASPX, let's view this in the design mode. And you can see we are incorporating the master page header and footer area in this as well. Now that we have our default content page and the master page set up, let's look at the issue of having a control in the master page, but we want to handle the events from that control here in our content page. So we'll start by putting a control in the master page, and let's put this here in the header area. And what I'm going to put is a radio button list. And the purpose of this list is going to be to allow the user to select the main format that they want to see the information in on the content page. For example, this is a news site. We want the user to be able to select between video, audio, or text as the primary format in which the information is displayed on each of the content pages. So let me take this radio button list. We'll add a few items to it for our example. And the first one we're going to call video. Second one will be text, viewing the content in text format. And the third one we'll call audio for viewing the content in audio format. So those are our three items. Let's change the properties a little bit to make this formatting look a little better. And we'll take the repeat direction and change it to horizontal. Now what we want to do is to have an event handler for this radio button list that handles events, but we want it located down in default ASPX. Now normally what we would do for this radio button list, we just select it, go to the event list, double click on the event we want, and event handler for selected index change event, which is the event we want to process, would be created. But the problem is that this event handler is here in the master page, and we want it down in the default ASPX page. Now we can't simply copy this event handler, put it down in default ASPX code behind, because it won't map back to the user control, which is located here on the master page. So there's two ways we could approach this. I'm going to briefly show you the first one, which is a little bit more restrictive, but it might be applicable in some cases that you have. We'll comment out this event handler, because we're going to actually use its signature in a few minutes. And what we're going to do is we're going to expose the radio button list as a public property from the master page, and we're going to consume that public property down in default ASPX. So let's create a public property for the radio button list. And we'll call this content list as a radio button list. And we're going to make this a read-only property. And then we can get rid of the setter. And we want to return radio button list 1, which is the instance of the radio button list here on the master page. So there's our public property representing our radio button list here on the master page. Now we want to consume that down on the default page. So let's go over, and the first thing we have to do is to create what's called a strongly typed representation of the master page here in our content page. To do that, we add a directive called master type, and we point back to the master page from which we want to create this master type, and we'll use the virtual path, and we'll set that to our master page. Now we want to go to the code behind for default ASPX, and here in default ASPX, what we want to do is create, or map, I should say, an event handler to the selected index change of the content list property, which represents our radio button list, back on the master page. Let's do that in the page load. And before we create that handler, let's actually create, I should say, before we map the handler, let's create the method that is the event handler here in default ASPX. And to make it a little easier, I'm just going to copy this signature from the master page, put it over here on the default ASPX page, and let me uncomment it. And since it's not going to be handling the event directly, let me get rid of this clause at the end of the method signature. And I'm going to change it to be called content list selected index change. That way it's a little more logical, because it's going to point to the content property up on the master page. So now we need to add our handler. So we'll say add handler. And we have to kind of ignore the IntelliSense at this point. So what we're going to do is we're going to say on this page in the master property, which represents the master page, we want to access the content list, which, as you remember, is our radio button. And then we want to access the selected index changed event of that radio button list. And we want that to point to the address of the content list selected index change method here on our default ASPX page. So now what we have is an event handler here on the child page, or I should say the content page, which will be fired when the radio button list is clicked on the master page. So let me just put a comment here so you're familiar with what this is. When you get the sample source code, we'll say process event handling for the radio button list on the master page. And here's where we'd put whatever logic we need to, in this example, say change the primary content on our default ASPX from video to text, audio to video, or whatever the user has selected. So now let's test out and make sure that our event handler is reached when we click the radio button list. One small change over on the master page before we do this, and that is we have to change auto post back to true for our radio button list so it indeed posts back and fires the event. So we'll start up the page and we'll change the selection of the radio button list. We'll say audio, and here we are reaching the breakpoint, and this event handler is down in the content page, in this case default ASPX, even though the user control that initiated the event is up in the header area of our master page. Now this first approach worked well, but it is a little bit restrictive in that we are intimately tied to the radio button list control here in our default ASPX content page. So a second approach that would provide some more flexibility, which you might find useful, is to abstract away the event handling a little bit from the radio button list control. So let's go ahead and do that. The first thing we're going to do is add a class to our website, and I'm going to call this content list event args, for content list event arguments. It's going to add it to the app code folder. And the first thing I'm going to do, just to make this a little bit cleaner, is I'm going to create an enum, and I'm going to call this content list type, and we're going to create several enums. And we're going to say video equals 1, text equals 2, and audio equals 3. And this just makes the passing of our event arguments a little bit clearer. So now in our content list event args class, let's create a public property. And first, let's create a variable called the content list type selection as a content list type, that as the enum we just created above. And then let's create a public property to expose this private variable information. And we'll call this content list selection, and we'll make that as a content list type. So now we'll return the content list type selection. Get the rest of that on there. And we're going to set that content list type selection equals the inbound value to the property. And we just need to make that enum public so it can be visible to the outside world. And now we have our public property representing our event argument. So what we're going to be doing here is we have a custom event arguments, and now we want to create a delegate which represents a custom event handler. So we'll go down here at the bottom of the class and we'll say delegate sub, and we'll call this content list event handler. And the arguments or parameters will be sender as object, and then E as content list event args, the class that we just created up above. So that looks good. So now we have our custom content list event handler. So now we're going to go back over to the master page and use this new event handler and the event arguments. And before we leave and go over to the master page, I see one more little change. We need to make our delegate public. Now we're going to go over to the master page, and what we're going to do is we're going to replace what we've done in this first step. So let me comment this out. And before I forget, we'll go over to the default ASPX, and we're going to comment out the code that accesses that master type public property that we were using in the first approach. So now the first thing we want to do for our second approach is to define an event here in the master page. So we'll say public event, and we're going to call this content list change as a content list event handler. That's the custom event handler that we just created. And now we actually want to process the selected index change for the radio button list when it occurs right here on the master page. So let me copy this, and I'm going to paste it down in here. Uncopy it, uncomment it. There we go. So now, when this event fires, what we want to do is to fire the content list changed event. So the first thing we want to do before firing that event is to create an instance of our custom event argument so we can pass that when we fire the event. So I'm going to dimension a local variable. I'm going to call event args, and we're going to make that a type of the content list event arguments class that we created a few minutes ago, equal new content list event args. And then in that, we want to set the content list selection property equal to the radio button list one dot selected value. So now we have our event arguments. Now we need to fire the event. So we'll say raise event, and the event we want to raise is content list changed, and we want to pass a reference to the master page as well as the event args variable that we just created. So now we've created the firing of the event here in the master page, and the next thing is we need to consume that down in the content page. So we'll go back over to the code behind for our content page, and here we're going to actually create a load event handler, and inside of here we're going to add an event handler, very similar to what we did the first time. So let me copy this method that we're going to use as our handler. Let me uncomment the copy. And what we're going to do here is, instead of selected index changed, we're just going to call it content list changed. And instead of it taking the standard event args class, we'll say as content list event args, because that's going to be our inbound. Now we'll go up to the page load, and we're going to say add handler, and we'll say me dot master dot, there's our content list changed event from the master page, and we'll map that by saying address of to content list change, which we just created down below. Now we should have that all mapped down here. Let's take our breakpoint from line 10, put it down on line 20, and let's test this out. Before we do that, remember we have to make a few more little changes, because now we're using that enum and the radio button list. If we go back over to our master page, that has values in it that are text. So we'll just video the value, as you recall, in the enum was 0, text is 1, and audio is now 3, and then also over on our master page, when we assign that to the event arguments property, we have to convert that. So we're going to say cType, and we're going to convert that to content list type. So now we should be all set when we run this. So we'll go back over and just position ourselves in the code behind where our breakpoint is located. Start up the page. Let's select text. And indeed, here we are in the breakpoint, which is the event handler down in default ASPX, even though the actual control is up in the header area of our master page. So this second approach achieves the same thing, but it's a little more flexible, because what we've done is we've abstracted away the event handler from the actual control, I should say. That is, the event handler that we're consuming down here in the content page is not directly tied to the radio button list on the master page. Well, in essence it is now, because that's the way we set it up in the master page, but we could change, we could the control on the master page from a radio button list to a drop-down list, and then all we would have to do up here is just change the event handler to file for the new control, I should say, create an event handler for the new control, and then fire the event in the same manner we're doing here, and it would be consumed in the same way down on our content page. We wouldn't have to change the content page. And the advantage of this is that, let's say we have 30 content pages throughout our website that use this master page. In the first approach that we saw here, if we change it from a radio button list to a drop-down list, because we have that intimate relationship between the type of control and the event being fired down in the content page, we'd have to go to every content page code behind and change the way the event is handled. But here in the second approach, because we've abstracted away the event handling to a separate custom event handler, then what we can do is we can actually change the control on the master page, change how the event is fired here in the master page code behind, and all of the content pages would work correctly. So we've looked at two approaches for creating event handlers down in content pages that are actually handling events for controls that are located up in the master page. I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with this video. It's available in both Visual Basic and C#. Take a look at the two approaches and see which one might work best for you. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on event handling in master and content pages in ASP.NET.